To live what has been taught requires simplicity, clarity, and an important inner quality. In this episode, Vivekji continues to provide that simple and clear message and explains the virtue needed to reach our goal.
Hari Om and greetings from Niagara Falls. In Srimad Bhagavatam, a great king, his name is Raja Anga, had the worst child. His name is not specified, so he came to be known as Vena. Vena means a tyrant. In English, one who is ever vain. He was so reckless, so ruthless, that the rishis, those who demonstrate patience, they all colluded, sharing that this leader needs to be destroyed. And so they did. They destroyed him. Upon the destruction of the king, the country went into anarchy because there's no one there to facilitate law and order. So what the rishis did is they churned the embalmed king's body. In other words, they cloned him, but they only took out the best part. And from Raja Vena came Raja Prithu, one of the greatest leaders in our history. In fact, the word Prithvi, which is another word for the earth, this came to be known as Prithvi because Raja Prithu made the earth his daughter. He treated the earth in such a way where he gave and gave and gave and took nothing. Where am I going with this detail? Raja Anga, awesome. Raja Vena, the exact opposite. Raja Prithu, awesome. What this indicates to us is that in every one of us, there is Punya and Papa. There is Dharma and Adharma. There's right and there's wrong. And when we are honest about this, we come to understand and appreciate religion more. Religion is a form of rehabilitation. To let go of Papa, that which takes us away from our nature, and to hold on to Punya, that which takes us towards our nature. Our religion is called Sanatana Dharma. Though this course is titled as Hinduism 101, that was just to catch your attention. Our religion is called Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma as the means is unchanging responsibility. Our unchanging responsibility Sanatana Dharma as the ends is infinite nature. When we completely purify the body, breath, mind, intellect, ego, we will come to feel our infinite nature. We already know this. If we rewind to even before June 1st, which was our first class together, you already knew everything that I just shared. We know it yet we don't know it. Like, if someone gives you a candy, and you're not familiar with this candy, so you put the whole candy in your mouth. What's still on that candy? The wrapper. So you're chewing down on this candy, and you are experiencing some of the sweetness, but you're also experiencing some of the plastic, right? That wax. This is our experience. High levels of finitude, thinking this is infinity, yet it's not. How different the experience is when you take off that wrapper. Yes? And if you don't believe me, try after class. Get a Tootsie Roll, get a Jolly Rancher, and just put it in your mouth with the wrapper on. Don't swallow, okay? I'm openly sharing this is dangerous to your health. Divinity is in the details. Our course is focused on details because in these details, divinity arises. And this statement may not jive with you, so I'll share this with you in a framework. Kva Twa. K-V-A T-W-A. What this framework looks like from beginning to end, K is knowledge. Knowledge affects your V, which is vision. Your vision affects your A, which is your attitude. And if you just pause there, if you think of someone who has less secular knowledge, their vision towards living is probably smaller. If you think of someone who's only lived in a village, their knowledge base tends to be smaller in terms of business, in terms of technology. So their vision on what they want to do with their lives tends to be smaller. Whereas someone who's well-traveled, their knowledge is bigger, so their vision is bigger. And your vision affects your attitude. Your vision for the day will determine if you have a good or bad attitude. So far, so good. Knowledge, vision, attitude. Then TWA. That was Trans World Airline or Trans World Atlantic, right? Some old airline back in the day. I revealed how old I am. I mean, I don't know what TWA stands for. Thoughts, words, and actions. Your attitude facilitates your thoughts. Your thoughts facilitate your words, and your words facilitate your actions. So now I come back to my point, the divinity is in the details. If your knowledge base is small, everything else becomes small. If your knowledge base is big, everything else becomes big. The first half of our course focused on the structure of Sanatana Dharma. And I hope, now that we're completing 10 weeks together, just in this semester, some of us have known each other for more than a decade. The structure of Sanatana Dharma is most natural, is most logical, is most practical. There is no outside force involved in the structure of Sanatana Dharma right from the beginning of Sanatana Dharma, that there's no founder. There's no conditions. We began our structure with Shishya. A Shishya is one who is deeper. Deeper than a searcher. A searcher is looking for happiness but doesn't know where. Whereas a seeker is looking for happiness but knows that's not outside. So they're deeper. When one becomes deeper, they become more disciplined. This is where the word disciple comes from. One who is ready for discipline. One is aware of their habit to keep on escaping through pleasure, possession, position. A shishya is one who slows this habit down and then stops it. If you are one who is not ready for such disciplines, then you are not a shishya. The rest of the structure cannot continue. That block has to be there. Like in Jenga, right? I think it's Jenga. If the bottom part is not there, the rest can't be there either. The next level is Sadguru. A Sadguru is one who is unique. They are deeper than intellectualization. See, we are all intellectuals. We make statements like, we are all one. I am infinite. But it's all in here. There's no feeling in here. Yes? It's all head and no heart. But a Sadguru is one who has internalized what they've come to know intellectually, so they actually live like that. It's not just in their head, it's in their heart also. And we need that to captivate our minds, our attention, that living like this is possible. The next level is the Shastra. The Shastra is a comprehensive message, a comprehensive system for our lifestyle to be more noble. Our lifestyle to follow ideals. That's all the message of the Shastra is. To live ideally, to convert values to virtues. For all of you who offered Dakshina for our year, not the summer semester, you recall the prasad I sent all of you. I sent you the happy year. And this is 52. They're called Santa Lakshanas. Descriptions of one who is a saint, a sage. And I portrayed this as Bala Lakshya. A Bala is someone who's trying to grow up. Lakshya means what they should be directed towards. This is what we should be directed towards every week. To focus on a particular value so this becomes our virtue. You have printed out the prasad I shared with you. Yes? Yes. The next level, layer, is Bhagwan. Bhagwan means Bhagavan, the one who has virtues, is virtuous, and so they feel a closeness with more humans, more animals, more plants, more stones. Whoever you feel close with, you tend to feel comfortable with too. You know you're becoming more like God when you're more comfortable with all sorts of people. Those isms that make society so uncomfortable, like sexism and racism and ageism, those go away. Slowly, they're dismantled. If that's too fluffy for you, how you know that you're becoming more like Bhagwan is that you're more courageous. Courageous. One of the descriptions of Bhagwan is Abhaya, the one who is fearless. Being courageous is being fearless, so you're closer. And the final level in the structure of Sanatana Dharma is Brahman. Brahman is Swatantra, which means independent. One who is independent is one who is joyous, independently joyous. And I shared with all of you, the ends of Sanatana Dharma is infinite nature. That's a synonym for independently joyous. This is how the first 5 weeks of our course flowed. The next 4 weeks, including this week, we focused on confusions. Weaknesses in the structure, not from the structure's perspective, rather from our perspective. In Sanskrit, this is known as moha. Moha means confusion. Where there is moha, there tends to be vikshepa. Someone tell me in the chat, what does vikshepa mean? Agitation works, projection works. I'm looking for a term that's more related to our course, misinterpretation. Where there's confusion, there is misinterpretation. Vikshepa then gets projected as raga, bhaya, and krodha, which in English means attachment, fear, and anger. So many of the confusions that are in the periphery of Sanatana Dharma are based on misinterpretation. And this misinterpretation, we come to get attached to it, to our own thinking process. We become afraid of this. I'm spiritual, but not religious. Or we become angered by this. How come certain people in Sanatana Dharma are treated like this? But understand, how did this all start? Vikshepa, which is misinterpretation, where did that come from? Confusion. Understood. This is not built into the structure. How many of you owned, and if you own it right now too, that's amazing, a Nintendo? The original Nintendo. Did you find that your original Nintendo happened to break down at the same time that everyone else's broke down too? It was like there is a breakdown built into the system, and magically Super Nintendo came out at the same time. See, that's commercialism, and it's okay because Nintendo is awesome. But in terms of Sanatana Dharma, there's no commercialism. These confusions are not built into the structure. It's built into our minds, but not into the structure. The first confusion we took up was avatara. In English, that means manifestation. Bhagavan is not just the creator, Bhagavan is also the creation. That's why within creation, Bhagavan manifests. Bhagavan is not just the cause, Bhagavan is also the effect. That is the detail that is to be known about avatara. Everything we're experiencing, divinity is inherent to that. Whenever there's a lack of balance, divinity manifests to restore balance. How loving our creator is. We worry too much. And that's just me being polite. We worry should be the statement. Too much is just me being polite. We shouldn't worry at all. You think you're going to restore balance? How's that going for you? How's that going for me? The next confusion we took up was sadhana. And sadhana is, I think I defined this as paths. Did I define it as paths? I think so. So if there's 100, 120 minds in this course, there's that many paths. How many of you love Hanumanji by a show of hands? How many of you love Bhagavan Shiva? Devi Saraswati? So if there was like a cage match amongst all of them, who would win? See, they're not better or worse. That's what we've been tainted in thinking, that Devi Saraswati is more sattvic and Hanumanji is more rajasic. They're just different because you're different. And so is the next person, and so am I, but we're not better or worse. Sanatana Dharma is built on the leadership model of Vashitvam, which means to lead by love, not Ishitvam, which means to lead by force. There is no force in Sanatana Dharma. And if you're experiencing that, misinterpretation. It's not coming from the structure. Do you feel it's coming from me? Am I forcing you to think in a certain way? Am I forcing you to do anything? Some of you are nodding yes. This is why I need my 4-week pause, so I stop forcing you. The third confusion we took up was Varna. Varna in English is color. Your color, not outside, but inside, comes from your prototype, which expresses as your personality, which tends to express as your profession. That is your guna, your vasana, your varna, your karma, or your guna, your varna, your karma. That was the technical language we used. Understand, this is not an outer color. I cannot believe people still feel sentiments like, my father was like this, so I'm like this. Or this is my last name, so I'm going to be like this. We are part of the problem. We're not part of the solution. At least intellectually we are now. The fourth confusion we took up was mukta. Avatara, sadhana, varna, mukta. Mukta means freed or enlightened. One who is freed, they have no ends, which means they have no means, which means there's no need to renounce any of the means to get to the ends. And Acharya Shankara shares this so emphatically in the end of Nirvana Shataka, where he says, na muktihi, na bandha. There is no ends, so there is no means. So what is there to renounce? Correct? Because we've been taught that you have to renounce the means to get to the ends, when in truth there is no ends, there is no means. If that's too high for you, I'll come down. The quieter your mind, intellect, and ego become, the less expectations you have. Do you agree? The quieter you are, the less expectations you have. The less expectations you have, the less attachments you have. Following? So now, knowing this model, quietude, less expectations, less attachments, do I have to avoid getting married then? Do I have to avoid having kids? Do I have to avoid being an entrepreneur? Do I have to avoid being an American? You know, I have to find opportunities to, to share that. It's about quietude. If you're quiet, you don't have expectations. You don't have attachments. Yes? See, we're again looking at this externally. I shouldn't have attachments. But you still have expectations. But if you have quietude, if the seed is not there, the rest of the tree won't. more way to understand mukta. One of the best verses in Bhagavad Gita is in chapter 9, verse 30. 9:30, and I'm not referencing this for this class. I'm only giving you a reflection point.
Api chet sudura charaha bhajate mam ananya bhak sadureva samantavyaha samyagyavasito hi saha.
And what this means is, even if one is the worst type of person, and as I share this with you, the fact that you're in this course does not apply to you. Okay, I'm endorsing this verse does not apply to you. Bhajate mam ananya bhak, if one is devoted to self-development, which all of you are. You know, I've observed, I've been studying, how many cameras join us week after week? In every course, I write that down. Last week, class 9, there was 80 cameras. Right now, there is 2. Class 8, 80 cameras. Right now, also. Class 7, 80 cameras. Right now, also. So you are devoted to Sanatana Dharma. Then what should you be called? Sadhu. You all are sadhus. No one ever told you that in your life. No one may ever tell you that in your life again. But I, on behalf of Bhagavan Krishna, are calling you a sadhu. I had asked a group of people, who is a sadhu? And one person put their hand up, poor people. To be a sadhu, you have to be poor. See the misinterpretation. And how did it come from? Confusion. But that's why I reference this verse that you are noble. And the reason for this is because of your resolution, your steadiness. So why I'm sharing this? You should plan, you should feel in this lifetime that you will be mukta. Please do not plan or feel that you're going to be born again. Because if you plan or feel that, it will happen. Mukta or bust. You try to find such a license plate. Then you know, hey, that person's in the Hinduism 101 course.
If you enjoyed what you heard or want to learn more, share this episode with a friend or find us online at facebook.com/CM Niagara. For those on the journey of self-development, Chinmaya Mission Niagara provides a community forum for seekers to listen, reflect, and contemplate. This podcast is produced by the Young Adults of Chinmaya Mission, an international nonprofit working to transform individuals through the knowledge of Vedanta. Until next time, inspire, love, be.